sold during Ulysses S. Grant's inauguration, champagne and canaries froze. In 1873, President Ulysses S. Grant's inauguration was the second coldest on record. It was 16 degrees with high winds that caused the food and the champagne to freeze, and sadly, so did hundreds of canaries that were going to be used in the celebration. But in case you're wondering which president has had the coldest inauguration, that's President Ronald Reagan's inauguration, the coldest one on record.
There you go, Ronald Reagan, the coldest inauguration. The canaries froze. I feel terrible. I can assure you no canaries were injured or killed in the processing of this radio program, in case you had any concerns at home. Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. It's Inauguration Day, Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. Good to have you here. I want to go back to some of the comments made by President Trump yesterday. He's on his way out at 8 o'clock this morning. He'll be headed to Mar-a-Lago in Florida after a send-off. Mike Pence will not be there. That's created a bit of controversy. Mike Pence is going to attend the inauguration with his wife, the second lady, outgoing. They will be there at the inauguration. President Trump will not. It's not the first time, by the way. In fact, John Adams skipped the inauguration of Thomas Jefferson. They didn't get along very well. That was 1801. John Quincy Adams, he skipped the inauguration of Andrew Jackson. They despised each other. It seemed to be an Adams family deal. They wouldn't go to the inauguration. Also skipping inaugurations were Martin Van Buren and Andrew Johnson. Hasn't happened in 100 years, and so it is. So it is. Donald Trump making a new precedent for going forward. No inauguration attendance. Anyway, let's see. Here's something else that he had to say yesterday. He has no farewell address, so this will have to suffice. Part two, bite two. Go.
And perhaps most importantly of all, with nearly $3 trillion, we fully rebuilt the American military, all made in the USA. We launched the first new branch of the United States Armed Forces in 75 years, the Space Force. And last spring, I stood at Kennedy Space Center in Florida and watched as American astronauts returned to space on American rockets for the first time in many, many years. We revitalized our alliances and rallied the nations of the world to stand up to China like never before. We obliterated the ISIS caliphate and ended the wretched life of its founder and leader, al-Baghdadi. We stood up to the oppressive Iranian regime and killed the world's top terrorist, Iranian butcher Qasem Soleimani. We recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. As a result of our bold diplomacy and principled realism, we achieved a series of historic peace deals in the Middle East. Nobody believed it could happen. The Abraham Accords opened the doors to a future of peace and harmony, not violence and bloodshed. It is the dawn of a new Middle East, and we are bringing our soldiers home. I am especially proud to be the first president in decades who has started no new war.
No new wars. No war. Started or perpetuated by this president. First time in my lifetime. Here's something else I want you to hang on to. Something else I want you to hang on to. The jackals and hyenas of the media would have you believe that Donald Trump's leaving office at the lowest rated presidency ever. It's completely false. In fact, it's so far off the mark, it's laughable and it's absurd. Yesterday, the last full day in office for President Trump, Rasmussen has him at 51% approval. 51%, more than half of America approves of Donald Trump. And let me just put it this way. There are only three or four polling companies in America that should even be doing polls anymore after what happened in 2016 and 2020. Rasmussen, Scott Rasmussen, is one of those. The rest are peddling junk and garbage. It's cesspool-filled nonsense. Half of America voted for the president. Half of America would do it again, maybe more. And questions will linger about the election of 2020 for the rest of my life. Some based on conspiracy theories? Sure. Some based on fact. Like, do you really believe that Georgia's electorate is that much different than all the states surrounding it? I don't, especially Florida. Do you really believe that those in Arizona became the first state, first electors to turn it blue in all of these years? Questionable. Wisconsin, maybe. The point is, there's a lot of questions out there. And to say there's no proof of irregularities and problems and issues, it's just not true. Plenty of evidence, enough to change what would have happened in the election. We'll never know because the investigations were never done. It shouldn't have been up to the president and his team to do the investigations. They should have been the ones that were forced to do the investigations of voting irregularities. They should not have been the ones collecting affidavits. That should have fallen to other individuals within government. But those within government that had the power to do so didn't have an interest. I mean, if you had done it and found that it was false, you could have said, Mr. President, we've done the investigations. What you're asserting just isn't true. It just isn't true. But to out of hand dismiss anyone that comes forward and says, I don't like what happened here. To dismiss that out of hand just creates more suspicion. Do a complete investigation. Do an audit. Be like Florida. Be like Texas and Ohio, but mostly like Florida, a state that 20 years ago was a complete mess when it came to elections, a state that runs like clockwork today, a state where they don't have problems with elections, and they know that when they vote on election day, they'll know by midnight what the results are, and usually a lot sooner. And they have tens of millions of mail-in ballots there as well. So get your act together, Michigan, New York, Illinois, Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia. Get your act together. Be like Florida. Anything less is unacceptable. 25 after on this Wednesday. We'll be right back.